Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Now I'm going to be reading out of a translation called the Mirror Bible. I don't know if anybody ever heard of that one. I'm just going to sort of read some of the things out of here. The guy puts some things in a really fresh way from the Word here. And I want to encourage you, maybe I'm always encouraging you to buy different Bibles, but maybe go online and get the Mirror Bible. It hasn't got the whole of the Bible. It's got most of the New Testament in it, but it's a really fresh kind of way to read the Word. It is a translation rather than just a general kind of approach to it. It is a translation. There's lots of little notes in there that help you, little Greek words and explaining what certain things means, but in really down-to-earth ways. And it's a brilliant little Bible just to use, to read a different translation than you used to. Keeps the Word kind of fresh as well. So I want to flow on from what Sarah was speaking about last week, about the beauty of brokenness, and really kind of go from there and connect it into character and God's wisdom in our lives. That when God works in our hearts and our lives, there's times, as Sarah was speaking about last week, where God reveals things in our hearts that we're not aware of. And God knows our hearts better than we do. And sometimes when God shows us things in our hearts, we go, wow, is that really there? Is that what's really going on in me? But God is amazing in the way that He shows us things in our hearts. When He speaks to us, you never feel condemned. You never feel crushed when God speaks. God might pinpoint something in our hearts or lives that we're not that aware of, that He is, but He wants to work or change in us. But when He speaks about it, He then leads us through a little process to bring us out the other side, so that we have a bit of heart surgery, so that we live more fully in who we are in Him, and our hearts are more surrendered, our lives are more surrendered to Him, and we see Him work in us and through us in a greater way. And so just want to read through some of this chapter, and also some things in chapter 3. So let's have a look in James chapter 1 from verse 2 onwards, okay? Temptations come in different shapes, sizes, and intervals. Their intention is always to suck you into their energy field. However, my brothers, your joy in who you know you are leads you out triumphantly every time. Should we just read that again? Temptations come in different shapes, sizes, and intervals. Their intention is always to suck you into their energy field. However, my brothers, your joy in who you know you are leads you out triumphantly every time. And you know that stuff happens in life. Temptations come. Or in the NIV, it talks about there are trials. There are things that come along to try and test our faith. And the Bible talks about sometimes our faith, our walk with God, is tested by temptations or trials or stuff we go through. But what happens in those processes, that walk, is to prove that what we believe and what we live in is genuine. You know, the kind of culture we live in, 21st century culture, sometimes is quite shallow. And our culture doesn't like challenge. Our culture doesn't like to be told there might be a problem, there might be an issue, or something needs to change. And we don't like or we don't find it easy going deeper in relationships or opening up our lives and our hearts to be vulnerable. And as we read this verse here, not just the guy translating it, but James is obviously speaking about we face trials, we face temptations, okay? But there's something that's going on in us that is greater or enables us to overcome the temptations or the trials that we're going through. So let's have a look at verse 3 and see what he says. Here is the secret then to overcoming. Here is the secret to coming through the temptations, the trials. Okay, this is what he says. Here's the secret. Joy is not something that you have to fake. It is the fruit of what your faith knows to be true about you. You know that the proof of your faith results in persuasion that remains constant in contradiction. Now, what on earth does that mean? How many of you know what you believe? How many of you know who you are in Christ? You know you're a child of God, you're accepted, you're forgiven, you're beloved by Him, you're a son, a daughter of God. We know who we are in that respect. But then sometimes stuff happens, trials happen, temptation comes, and your feelings kind of express something different than what you know and what you believe. And this is what he's speaking about here. Sometimes it feels like there's a contradiction because our feelings feel one thing and it feels like we're going through one thing, but yet we believe something that is different than the feelings that are being expressed in our body or the thoughts that are going through our minds at that moment. That there's this contradiction that goes on. And he says, one of the secrets to coming through temptations and trials and stuff that might want to trip us up, stuff we might find difficult or the pressures of life, he says, one of the secrets here is to express and be full of joy. Now, as a believer, how do we express joy? Anybody?
By reading the Bible more.
Okay. Okay, reading the word, worshiping, anything else? How do we express joy in our lives?
Showing love and protection, brotherly love.
Shall we just have a meeting, you and me, on our own? What he's saying here, one of the things is joy. You know, faith is a decision in our lives. And sometimes we wait for faith to be a feeling. I don't feel faith, or I don't feel joy, or I don't feel something. And often we can live on our feelings, and our feelings can be determined by the circumstances, by the atmosphere or something going on around us. It's easy for our feelings to be impacted by that. And then when somebody like me stands up on a stage and says, hey, guys, let's rejoice. You know, if you got some stuff coming your way, the best way to deal with it is rejoice and exalt the Lord over it. And it's easy that we can all sit there. I could sit there if one of you was up here saying, yeah, but Clive, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm feeling. You don't know what's, you know. And there's a choice at that moment, even though sometimes it's difficult, okay, and it's not easy. But sometimes in the midst of that contradiction, that challenge or that circumstance or the trial or the temptation, at that moment, the word says, here's the secret to be joyful. So what does it mean to be joyful? At that moment, joyful is not an emotion, it's an action. It's something that in that moment of challenge, you say, Father, you are still the same. Even though the circumstances around me are changing all the time, even though the feelings going on within me are changing at this moment, because 5 minutes ago I felt all right, and now I've heard something, and now my feelings are down here. I've now been thinking about it, so they're now over there, and I've now come back thinking, well, hang on a minute, now I'm over here. But you haven't changed. You're still constant. You're still the same. So at this moment, even though my arms feel heavy and my heart is wondering what's going on, my emotions are pinging off like bouncing on a trampoline, but yet in this moment, what I'm going to do, Father, I'm going to choose to rejoice about who you are and who I am in you, because who I am in you and who you are in me is greater than the feelings, greater than any oppression, greater than any negativity, greater than any challenge. So in the midst of us, everything that seems to be a contradiction in my mind, in my head at this moment, that says, no, how can you rejoice at this moment because you've got to deal with that? How can you rejoice because your feelings say this? No, in the midst of this, I'm going to stand here and rejoice. And I'm going to be full of joy. Because being joyful is not about how your feelings are. Being joyful is knowing that you are full of the one who is your joy. And so in the midst of it, as you stand there and go, Father, I'm going to pull right now on the joy of who you are in me. So as I express my praise and thanksgiving to you in the midst of the heat of the day, I'm going to lift your name high. I'm going to exalt you over my life, over my emotions, over my thinking, over the circumstances, over the trial, over the temptation, over whatever is going on. I choose to exalt you right now. And what you find is as you rejoice, as you make a decision, not with gritted teeth to go, I'm gonna overcome this, I'm gonna do that, but from a place of rest. Father, my feelings are going all over the place. My mind doesn't know what to think. The circumstances are like, how am I gonna deal with this? But my first response is gonna be, Father, you're in charge. You are Lord, you are great, you are mighty. I praise you, I exalt you. I magnify you. You are awesome. Your name is more powerful than everything else going on. Your word is more powerful in my life than any other word that's being spoken around my life about something opposite or whatever. I exalt you, Jesus. What are you doing at that moment? One, you're reminding yourself of who God is, and you're magnifying him over the trial, the temptation, the challenge, the issue, okay? You're reminding yourself, he is God. He is amazing. He is powerful. He is awesome. He's magnificent. You're reminding yourself who he is. He is. You're telling yourself who he is. But you're also, as you begin to do that and you begin to exalt the Lord, what begins to happen is his presence and his peace begin to permeate through your whole being, through your soul. Your whole being, not just in your spirit, but through your mind, your emotions and your will, through your body, his peace, his presence begin to permeate. And instead of seeing things like a cat, you know, with the headlights or whatever the expression is, like, it freaked me out, you begin to get a perspective on it. Something changes on the inside of you. His peace begins to permeate. His presence begins to be tangible. Okay, and as you begin to do that, the contradiction in your mind begins to become less. Your emotions begin to line up with the joy of what you're expressing. Your emotions begin to settle down. Instead of them being all over the place, there's like a peace that begins to overtake, because the peace of God is stronger than our emotional response. Your mind begins to settle down. Instead of going at 150 miles an hour, it slows right down, because you begin to take a moment and say, Father, I exalt you. I praise you. Everything else is on hold for however long this is going to take. And I worship you. I magnify you. And you begin to see things from God's perspective. You begin to see things in a different way. But it takes a decision of our will to do it. Because our feelings are going, how can I do this? How can I do that? How can I praise him? I don't fit everything. It's going to be a waste of time. It's the last thing I think. And just, it's like, God, I'm going to begin to do it. I'm not saying just immediately jump up and down, hallelujah, praise, you know, and all of that. But maybe just begin, Father, you're amazing. In the midst of it, you're awesome. God, I choose, you know, and just begin to exalt and begin to stir up. That's what you're doing. You're stirring up the gift of God. You're stirring up the Holy Spirit within you. And maybe after a few minutes, maybe 30 seconds, maybe a few minutes, you begin, and what has been overtaking you begins to be overtaken by you as you exalt him. Amen? Anybody believe this stuff? Then in verse 4, it says, what begins to happen? Steadfastness provides you with a constant, a consistent environment. So patience prevails. So what happens when you begin to exalt the Lord? What happens? You begin to live in his realm, not the realm of the circumstances. You begin to live in the realm of who you are as a child of God in that moment, not in the realm of temptation or challenge or what might come your way. Are you with me? Because as you exalt him, you're saying, oh, this is who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm an overcomer. My mind, feelings, emotions are saying other things, but you are my victory. You are my breakthrough. You are my answer. You're my way through. Not just my way out, but you're my way through what's happening at this moment. And what you find is you get God's environment, as it says here, consistent environment. You get his environment because he's the consistent one. So patience prevails. What's another word for patience here? Is perseverance. So perseverance prevails. We live in a culture where if people don't get their own way, what do? They act like a kid. They have a tantrum. They throw all the bait, everything out the pram, and everything's, you know. And if something doesn't go people's way, they get upset and they blow up so easily, okay? It's easy to live like that as a Christian if we're not careful. Something doesn't go your way. Oh, where's God? He hasn't. Where's the promises? Where is he? Oh, come on, God. Or something doesn't go your way and somebody else must be to blame. There's somebody else who I can... And in that moment, it's not blaming somebody else. It's not throwing our toys out with the pram. But actually, the Bible says here, our faith becomes mature, or our faith is proved, or our faith becomes more genuine when stuff that comes our way, we don't blow up in the face of it, but we stand there in that moment and say, okay, Father, I'm not sure what else to do at this moment, but the one thing I am going to do is I'm going to choose to exalt you. I'm going to choose to praise you. I'm not sure. God, I need some wisdom here. And this is where, and it's amazing how wise God is with his word, because it starts off with being faced with temptations and trials and challenges to prove that our faith is genuine. How do we break through in that? That's to be a person of joy, being full of joy, exalt the Lord and praise him over it. And then he begins to speak about wisdom, okay? The steadfastness provides you with a consistent environment as you worship God. So patience prevails. So perseverance prevails and proves your perfection, okay? How many of you feel a contradiction sometimes when your feelings say, I'm not worthy, but yet the word says you are? When your feelings, you feel nagged by something, you say, well, I'm not good enough, I, you know, but God says you are good enough because I've made you acceptable in my sight. When something else is going on, your head's saying one thing, but the word says, no, that's not who you are. God doesn't look at you as an old life person. He looks at you as a new creation that you are in Christ, that we are in him. That's how he sees us. That's how he looks at us, okay? How entirely whole you are and without any shortfall. You can look at your life. We can look at our lives in two ways. We can look at our lives and either say, I used to be like this in my old life. I wasn't acceptable to God. I was controlled by the power of sin and I needed to be saved. And I came to the cross. I surrendered everything, repented of my sin. I was forgiven, set free, and now I'm living in a relationship with God. And he has made me acceptable. He's made me worthy. He's made me holy. He's made me a child of his. And you can live in the good of that and in the fullness of that, okay, and say, that is all gone. That's finished. That's dealt with. Trouble comes your way, but because you have that revelation of who you are in Christ, you don't then think, now that trouble is going to change who I am. I'm still this new creation in Christ that he's created me to be. So I'm going to still live as that person and be that person, even though my emotions sometimes are all over the place or my mind is not where it needs to be, but I'm still this new creation. And that's what he's talking about here, James, the contradiction. So you can either still stay as a new creation and say, right, in this place, I'm going to have victory in this. I'm going to overcome this and come through the other side. So I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to exalt the Lord and I'm going to apply the truth of who, what the word is. Or you can see yourself, well, I used to be like this. I'm now a new person in Christ, but something's happening going on in me that makes me think I'm still over here and I've got to be improved or changed or something's got to happen in order for me to live in the good of it over here. And sometimes we live as Christian schizophrenics in the sense that I am a new creation, but I still feel like something old is going on. But yet I am a new person, but yet my mind is still something over here. And this is where what we're doing as a new creation is you've been accepted, you've been made worthy, you're a new creation, you're a new person, you're a child of God, you're a son of God. And what we're learning to do from here to, for the rest of our lives is learn how to live in the good of who we are and what happened when we gave our lives to Jesus, when we repented and went through the cross at that moment with him. I think every day there can be contradiction going on in our life. Stuff happens. But when we live in that place of rest, if I can just grab a chair. How many of you were here last year when we spoke about living in the great rest? Okay, there were three chairs. Unsaved, great rest, living in self. And everybody wants to live here, right? In the rest where, you know, what is the rest? It's living in the total well-being of who God is. Living in the great I am, where there's no... There's no sense of striving, self-effort. There's no sense of unworthiness or shame. You know you're accepted. That place of rest, well, I don't have to try to be acceptable to God because I wasn't over there when I didn't know him, but he made me acceptable by making me a child of God, and he placed me in this life of rest. This is the best place in the universe to live, in a place of rest, in a place of peace. So challenge comes, trials come to prove that this is genuine, but sometimes stuff knocks us off and we end up wanting to live in that chair of, we don't want to, but we end up living in that chair of self, trying to do it in our own strength. And what James is speaking about here is living in a place of rest. So how does he do this? And then he says here in verse 5, the only thing you could possibly lack is wisdom. However, so in the midst of trials and temptations, challenge, stuff, and then we said, what do we do? If we begin to exult, if we begin to rejoice, if we begin to be full of joy in the midst of it, we might not know what to do to come through the other side. At that moment, the best thing to do is, Father, I don't know how to handle this, what to do, what to think, how to feel, but one thing I am going to do, I'm going to exalt you right now. I'm going to praise you right now. When you exalt him over the circumstances, over your life, over what's happening on the inside of you, what does that open up? It opens up the opportunity to hear from God. While we're busy, full of fear, anxiety, worry, how do I deal with this? Sitting over on that chair, it's really difficult to hear or to receive from God. When we are in a place of, there's not a chair here, but if, I don't know if my legs will handle this, but anyway, if we're sitting on this chair in a place of self, okay, that's enough. that was 5 seconds worth of whatever you call that, squatting. And that's enough exercise for the week. What do we need to do? How do we come back there? Father, I rejoice. I praise you. I exalt you over my feelings, over the circumstance. What are we doing at that moment? We're coming back into this place of rest, this place of peace. And in that place, he then says, however, the only thing you might lack is wisdom to know what to do. However, make your request in such a way that you draw directly from the source. What a great way of putting it. That you draw directly from the source. Not filtered through your own opinions or understanding, but directly from the source. God is the origin and author of wisdom. Listen to this. He intertwines your thoughts with good judgment. His gifts are available to all without regret. God is the origin and author of wisdom, and he intertwines your thoughts with good judgment. It's very difficult for God to speak into our lives when we're in frenzy mode, frenzy response, panic mode, fear mode, anxiety mode. When we begin to exalt and we come back into this place, and then what happens? Everything begins to slow down in the right way, and he begins to speak. And then instead of our mind being in frenzy, we've submitted our thinking, our emotions, our body to him. We've been rejoicing and exalting him. Then his wisdom begins to flow. His voice begins to flow. His wisdom begins to come. And your thoughts then begin to, he might start reminding you scriptures, things he's saying to you. And his thoughts begin to get intertwined with yours. And your thoughts then become what his thoughts are. And your mind then begins to settle and get at rest. Then what happens? Everything settles down in emotions. Why? Because you're re-entering, if I can put it this way, the rest. Or you're saying, God, I want to live in that place of rest. Then, I love this progression here. Verse 6. Faith must prompt your requests. When we're living in a place of frenzy, faith isn't going to be at work particularly, because we're more living at that level or at an emotional level. But when you come back into this place and we rejoice, exalt him, submit and surrender ourselves afresh to him and his word, then we're going to be able to come from a place of faith. Faith must prompt your request. Faith is the stabilizing factor. Otherwise, you become driven by emotions that get you out of control like rough seas tossed by a tempest winds. It's all in there in those verses, it just puts it in a different way. A haphazard request makes it impossible to interpret God's wisdom accurately. So we're haphazard over there, but in this place, it's a place of rest, a place of clarity. It's then a place of hearing God, having wisdom, and then coming from a place of faith in our lives. How many of you want to live in the place of rest? Three of you. Brilliant. Anybody else? There's a load more that I was going to go into, but we're not going to go into that now, I don't think. But I just encourage you, get this version, you'll be able to read it in chapter 3 of James. But let's just stay on this chapter 1 for a moment. Sarah spoke last week about the beauty of brokenness. And how, however we live and however we relate flows from what's happening on the inside of us. If we're anxious, we relate to people in an anxious way. If we worry, we worry about stuff that affects the way our relationships are. Whatever's going on in you or me or us in our lives, we filter everything that's going on through what's happening with us. The guys this morning, when we arrived, there was a last-minute change of plan to do with a worship team. Some guys not here. And everybody had to change plans last minute. And what songs do we know? How are we going to do this and this, that and the other? And I know for me, I don't like that last minute on a Sunday. And not that we plan everything, like what songs are we going to do, and it's all sorted during the week in terms of X, Y, Z, and there's no room for God to move. But, you know, the guys, you know, the stuff they were going to do and all of that. And last minute change, one or two other things that weren't all organised or sorted or whatever. And I don't like that. And for me, it's easy. You know, I arrived in this chair and after about 10 minutes of being here, I was like over here in this one. I'm like, man, this isn't here. This isn't sorted. That person's dipped out. They're not here today. Lastminute.com. We've only just found out this morning. La, 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 la. And I'm over here and I'm like, I'm supposed to lead the meeting this morning, supposed to speak this morning. And I'm going to even, we haven't got to this part in chapter 3, but one way it talks about in terms of God's wisdom being pure, peace, loving, considerate. And considerate there means everything you do, make sure you're thoughtful, reflective and courteous as to how that would impact somebody else. And I'm inside walking around with steam coming out my ears thinking, flipping heck, if I could get hold of that person, if they were not here this morning last minute, I'd thump them. Do you know what I mean? Because it's put a load of guys under pressure in a way they didn't need to be under pressure. And then I'm thinking, this is annoying me and we're running out of time and that kind of thing. And I was like, I was not there, I was over here. And I think one or two of the other guys picked up, I was over here and not in here as well. So I'm sorry, forgive me for doing that, if, or however it might have come across. The guys did a great job, didn't they? But it's easy. It's easy to get knocked off this really easily. Stuff happens. I know what knocks me off or tries to, and that's one of those things, just stuff around here and everything. And a bit of an anorak in certain areas, I think I am, with certain things. I just need to settle down. But what was going on in me was affecting other people. So I had a word with a few people beforehand saying, sorry about this, sorry about that. It's okay, it's going to be great, la, 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 all of that. You know, it'd be good, it'd be great and all that kind of stuff. Because I knew what was kicking off in me. So the first part of the meeting, as well as having my hands in the air, I was like, Father, I just want to get back in the right place or the right seat or wherever you want to put it. I can't get up and say anything with this going on in my head or in my heart. So, Father, as I got my hands in the air, you didn't know I was singing a song, I was just talking and getting my heart right, you know? But it's like, Father, I just want my thinking, my heart, my emotions, I want everything to be, I want to be in a place of trust that whatever the guys are going to do is going to flow, it's going to be great, and I trust you, trust them, do you know what I mean? And just Whatever you're going to do and say this morning, it's going to be great. Do you know what I mean? And just rest and make sure that I didn't stand up, come up and do anything out of anxiety, out of being annoyed, out of being stressed or whatever. But it's not just about being up here. It's about how we live in the moments of our lives, you know? Remember, we said something a few weeks ago just before we pray. What's God's view of greatness? Because in our culture, a lot of the time we think there is a moment of greatness or there's something great that we've got to do. We've seen loads of people get gold medals recently in the Olympics and we would say they were all great moments. But they only had that great moment because of the daily, the things they've done day in, day out, all the things. They've gone swimming every day. They've exercised. They eat the right diet. They've just all the daily decisions added together. And okay, yes, they get a gold medal at the end of it. It leads to something that we all say, wow, that was great. That was amazing. That was awesome. But it was only that because of all the stuff that we know they do it, but we didn't see them doing it. They've done every day for the last 4 years. And the Christian life is that. It's living those everyday moments. How do I handle this? How do I respond to that person? What's, and like Sarah said, because I've been, a lot of us have been going through this staff-wise over the last while, is why am I thinking that in this moment about that person? I'm in a meeting. There might be six of us there. We're talking about something. We're sorting something out. We're planning something. Somebody says something or the way they say it or I, you know, and suddenly I'm thinking, so what's their agenda? What's going on there? Now, there's nothing wrong with thinking that, but it's what follows. When instead of saying, that's an odd thing to say. I wonder what they're thinking. I then start thinking, right, I'm not going to listen to them in the rest of this meeting because they've got an agenda and I'm going to, you know, and I start finding, I'm thinking, and I'm like, hang on a minute, what's going on in me? So forget what's going on in them. What's happening in me? Why am I now filtering everything I'm hearing from that person because of this, that, and the other? And then, you know, okay, maybe I'll have a chat with them after the meeting. You know, any particular reason why you said that the way you did? Okay. But what's going on in me and deal with that first? Because whatever's going on in me will affect how I relate, how I view, how I see, how I relate to everybody else around my life, around here, in terms of who we are and what we do. So let's stand together, shall we? How many of you want more wisdom in your life?
Yeah.
Well, the Bible says you have to ask for it. But ask for it in the context of rest. Don't ask for it in context of freaking out, okay? If you're in this mode over here, a bit of freaking out, anxiety, fear, worry, stuff's coming your way, the first thing to do is to this morning is to say, right, before I ask for any wisdom or receive anything from you in that way, Father, I'm first of all going to choose to rejoice over what's going on in me and what's happening. It might be that you've fallen out with somebody. It might be that there's a challenging situation going on. I don't know, whatever it is, a diagnosis for something or whatever. But let's just close our eyes for a minute. What if you need to exalt the Lord over your own life, over something going on, just take a few moments to do that. And how do you do that? Literally, you need to speak. You need to exalt him. Maybe you need to just raise your hands wherever you are around the room as a physical action, saying, Father, I just lift my hands and exalt you over my life right now. I exalt you over my feelings. I exalt you over my mind. I exalt you over the reactions to this person, that person, this situation. I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. I magnify you at this moment, that you become bigger. You become bigger. That I don't reduce you down to the size of the circumstance to make the circumstance bigger, but I exalt you over it. I magnify you over my feelings, my emotions, that challenge, that trial, that temptation. Whatever it is, I exalt you right now, Jesus. I magnify you. You are wonderful. You are worthy. You are mighty. If you need to do that around the room, just do it. Especially if your feelings are saying, that's ridiculous. Just do it. Make a decision. Raise your hands. That's a physical thing to help you. Raise your hands. Say, Father, I choose right now over whatever whatever's going on, I choose to lift my hands and exalt you over everything. Even though I don't know what to do in the middle of the circumstance, it doesn't make sense, but I exalt you anyway, and I rejoice and lift you high over everything that's going on. I lift you and exalt you over this sickness, over this diagnosis. I exalt you, Jesus, over this trouble, over this challenge, over this trial, over this temptation. Father, I want my faith to be proved genuine. I want to grow. I want to mature. I want to come right through the other side in victory. So I rejoice in who you are this morning. I rejoice in who I am in you, that I'm accepted. I'm loved. I've been made worthy. I'm a child of yours. I thank you, Jesus, for the victory of who you are right now. In me and in my life at this moment, I praise your name. I praise your name. I praise your name. I praise your name. Just let the peace of God come on you as you rejoice. Your mind just settles down. Your emotions come into place because you're putting his lordship over the other things. Now, in the middle of that, the Bible says we can ask for wisdom, wisdom that comes from heaven. That wisdom is first of all pure. It's innocent. It's pure. It has no agenda. God's wisdom is pure. Maybe you just need to say, Father, I ask you for your wisdom. That pure wisdom in the middle of the situation, I thank you for your wisdom. It then says, in the NIV, then peace loving. What does that mean? Peace loving means all is well with your soul. See, if all is well with your soul, you're at peace with your soul, then that peace will permeate through your life. Just ask the Lord, Father, I thank you for wisdom. As you pray, just pray with thanksgiving. Father, I thank you for your wisdom in the midst of this situation. I thank you for that peace loving, that wellness with my soul right now. Then that wisdom is considerate, courteous, thoughtful, reflective, aware of others. Father, I thank you that your wisdom allows me to be aware of others so that I respond in a way that loves, that gives, that serves, that builds, that encourages, that strengthens. Just thank you for that considerate that flows from wisdom. Also, that wisdom leads to, it says here, submission, a yielding. See, God's wisdom enables us to be teachable. See, when you're in a place of rest, you're in a place of openness to him. You're in a place of yielding because you're not trying to do it in your own strength. It's a place of yielding. It's a place of submission, yielding, but it's a place where his life can flow through you in that moment. Thank you, Jesus. It makes you teachable. His wisdom enables you to humble. His wisdom is teachable. His wisdom produces a humility. It's all in there in the Word. And from that wisdom flows mercy. It says, full of mercy. When we're merciful, what are we doing? We're not jumping to conclusions. Instead, we're being compassionate. Full of mercy, that wisdom is full of mercy. That wisdom is good fruit. In that context, what's he speaking about? He's speaking about our relationships being healthy. Good fruit, the fruit of wisdom in our lives, in the context of James here, is about having healthy relationships. So you can look at your life and say, are my relationships healthy? Are they bearing good fruit? If there's some that are saying, man, I don't know if there's good fruit in that relationship, maybe you just need to take a few steps back then. Say, Father, I just want to submit something afresh to you, that relationship. I exalt you over it. I magnify you over that relationship. And in that relationship, Father, I need your wisdom to flow. I need your wisdom to flow, that pure wisdom. So I'm not taking sides. I'm not seeing that person as an old creation or with an issue. Or they have an issue with me. Instead, wisdom, first of all, is pure. Father, I thank you that you enable me to see that person with a pure heart in my own heart, that my own heart is pure towards them. So I see them with a pure heart, with a peace-loving heart, that I'll be considerate towards them, open towards them, full of mercy. So that becomes a good fruit, healthy relationship. Also, God's wisdom, it is impartial. It doesn't take sides. It's not moved by preference. God's wisdom is impartial. It doesn't look for personal gain. It's sincere. God's wisdom is sincere, real and genuine. Just ask for God's wisdom afresh on your life. I thank you for that wisdom that brings consideration, thoughtfulness, that wisdom that is impartial, where I don't take sides. I don't know if you've taken sides in a situation or not. God doesn't want you to take sides. His wisdom is impartial. Has no preference, doesn't look for personal gain. His wisdom is sincere, real and genuine. There's no deceit. It's not two-faced. It's not shallow. It's real and genuine. Father, thank you for your wisdom this morning on our lives so that we have real and genuine relationships, friendships, where there's nothing hidden. There's no deceit, nothing two-faced, nothing shallow. And finally, in James 3 there, verse 18, I think it is, he says, that those who are living in that wisdom that comes from heaven, they are peacemakers who sow in peace and raise a harvest of righteousness. A peacemaker is different from a peacekeeper. A peacekeeper just wants to keep the peace, keep it as it is. They're afraid of trying to deal with stuff because, well, I don't want to upset anybody. I just want to keep the peace. A peacemaker is somebody that will, first of all, make sure whatever's going on in their own heart is sorted. So that then where there's strife, issues, challenges, where stuff's going on, quarrels, fights, disagreements, a peacemaker will come in and help to bring peace where there isn't peace. And sometimes that's not easy. God wants each one of us to be peacemakers, that where we might be out of sorts with anybody, if there is anything like that in our lives, he wants you to be a peacemaker. There might be a quarrelling issue or something, and you think, well, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. That's being a peacekeeper. And we don't want to be peacekeepers. We want to be peacemakers. And that's where we need God's wisdom, which we've just quickly read through in chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. That their wisdom is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, sincere. That's what enables us to be peacemakers. I don't know if there's any situation where you need to be a peacemaker in your own, with other people, towards you, or you towards them, or another situation you're involved in where actually you can help to be a peacemaker. And rather than thinking, I don't want to go there, actually, let's help one another come into a place of peace and rest out of strife or quarrel or whatever it might be. So, Father, I thank you. Your word says peacemakers who raise a harvest of righteousness. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. Just thank him for the wisdom that you need for today, the wisdom you're going to walk in this week, that wisdom is going to be expressed. Maybe you can read chapter 3 yourselves, particularly verse kind of 15 to 18 there, about what wisdom is and what it does in us. And just be in a place of rest and receive the wisdom that you need to walk and to live in who you are today. Thank you, Jesus. Just while we're around the table, just grab one other person and let's take 30 seconds each, 1 minute, and just pray for the other person right now, that there'll be a person who would be full of wisdom, considerate, kind, whatever we've just been looking at. Just pray for one another now. If you've only got three of you, pray together. We'll just take a few moments. Pray for somebody around your table. Just pray for them to be a person of wisdom, full of peace, considerate, submissive, impartial, sincere, being a peacemaker. Just bless them right now for the next few minutes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we exalt you. We praise your name over our lives. Let's exalt the Lord, shall we? Just exalt him over your life. As we respond to the word, Father, we exalt you over every situation, every challenge, everything going on. We thank you that you enable us to come through it, that our faith is strengthened and proved that it is genuine. We thank you, Father. We praise your awesome name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.